Arizona's primary results this week are a clean test case for Trump's continued influence over Republican primary voters heading into the 2026 midterm cycle. In the state's competitive 1st congressional district, former NFL kicker Jay Feely won the GOP primary. Former Arizona Representative Andy Biggs secured the gubernatorial nomination. Both are Trump-endorsed candidates, both won decisively. The signal for the party is that the Trump endorsement in Republican primaries remains the most powerful single variable in a competitive race.
The Jay Feely victory is particularly interesting as a political phenomenon. He's a former professional athlete with no prior elected office experience, and he won a congressional primary in a competitive district. That's a profile that 10 years ago would have seemed thin. But the combination of celebrity recognition, Trump endorsement, and anti-establishment positioning is apparently sufficient to win Republican primaries, even in races where the stakes are high.
The redistricting story involving Representative Cleo Fields is a textbook case of how congressional maps shape representation before a single voter casts a ballot. Fields, a Louisiana Democrat, announced he won't seek re-election after his district was redrawn in ways that favor Republican candidates. This is the fundamental structural issue with partisan redistricting. Incumbents can be effectively removed from office through map-making rather than through the will of the voters in their existing district. Fields had won his seat fair and square, and the redrawing of district lines changes the electorate he would face.
The Smithsonian story is worth understanding in its broader context. The director of the National Museum of American History testified before Congress as Republican members probe what they're calling political activism at the institution. This is part of a broader pattern we've been tracking. The current administration and its congressional allies have been scrutinizing cultural institutions for what they characterize as ideological bias. The Smithsonian is particularly symbolic because it's federally funded and is supposed to represent the full breadth of American history.
What makes the Smithsonian hearings politically consequential is that they're about the authority to define the national narrative. Who gets to decide what exhibits the National Museum of American History presents, what stories it tells, what interpretive frameworks it uses? That's not a small question. The museum's choices about how to present American history, including contested chapters like the Civil Rights Movement, the internment of Japanese Americans, the labor movement, have real effects on how tens of millions of visitors understand their country.
The electricity price story is one of the clearest examples this year of a promise meeting economic reality. Trump set a public deadline to halve electricity prices. That deadline has now passed, and electricity rates are up 18%, not down 50%. That's a $34 billion annual gap for American consumers relative to the stated goal if you scale it across household electricity spending. The administration hasn't offered a clear accounting for how the commitment unraveled. And it's the kind of concrete, measurable outcome that's difficult to spin.
The Memphis pizzeria story is small in scale, but significant as a cultural indicator. The owner of Tamboli's Pasta and Pizza turned away National Guard troops he said were tied to a federal task force connected to fatal shootings. The community responded with a boycott, organizing to pack the restaurant nightly in support of the owner's decision. This is a moment where local community solidarity is explicitly aligning against federal enforcement presence. It's one data point, but it reflects a fraying of the social contract around federal law enforcement authority in communities that have had traumatic encounters with it.
The Warren Durbin bill on college accountability for student debt is moving through Congress and targeting a real problem. Loan defaults are at record levels, and the legislation would require accreditors to evaluate schools on repayment rates and graduation outcomes, essentially tying a school's ability to access federal student loan dollars to whether its graduates can actually repay those loans. That's a market discipline mechanism that both progressives and some conservatives can support conceptually, even if they disagree about the details.
The political environment heading into midterms is shaped by all of these stories simultaneously. The Iran war's political costs are real. Ingram's call for an exit strategy is not an isolated voice. The electricity price failure is a concrete broken promise. The Arizona results show base enthusiasm is still there. The redistricting and Smithsonian fights show the culture war dimension is fully operational. It's a complex picture, and no single narrative captures it.